Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians, chapter 3. Before we look in God's Word, let's ask the Lord's blessing. Our Father, how thankful we are this evening to call upon your holy name. O righteous Father, have mercy upon us for Christ's sake. Bless, I pray, your word. Bless it to the comfort of your people and to the calling out of your elect. We ask you now, forgive us, Lord, where we failed you. Thank you for this assembly. Thank you for your mercy to allow this candlestick to be here all these years held in your hand. We ask you now, have mercy on us tonight for Christ's sake. Amen. Rightly so, the Apostle Paul never spoke lightly of the office to which he was called. He was called to be a preacher. A preacher. I truly consider being called a preacher of the gospel to be the highest of all callings. Called to preach, in the words of the Apostle Paul, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what he said in verse 8. Unsearchable. Last time we considered that verse, this is what he was saying. Try to run the completeness out of everything that the Lord is doing in this world. In every avenue, every part, every person, every event, where it leads, how it got there, what God Almighty, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul said in Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." Paul knew that God had called him to preach the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was also taught not only the high calling, being called to be a preacher, to preach among the Gentiles. But also, he was made to know something of himself. In verse 8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given." God's people know something of themselves. That's growing in grace. Grace humbles a man, a woman. Grace humbles them. That Almighty God would be pleased to call me. Call me. Give me a heart for Him. Give me a heart to want to be here. Give me a heart to love you. That's a miracle of God's grace. And I know just enough about myself. Paul was not speaking out of false humility. I know that. He meant that. Every believer knows something of himself. Who's sufficient for these things? I've expressed to you before my failings in myself, to stand before God's heritage and to preach to those that Christ laid down His life for. To preach to the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's sufficient for these things. The responsibility to set forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of God in His face. The Lord had chosen Paul to preach, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. All men, meaning Jew and Gentile, not all without distinction. You know that. Not everybody, but to make Jew and Gentile, all manner of men, all of God's elect, that they might be able to see by the inspiration of God's Spirit through the preaching of gospel, the fellowship that they both have in salvation in Christ. That was hid in God, Scripture says. God wasn't pleased to make that known until it pleased Him, sending Paul the Apostle preach to the Gentiles. After the Jews refused, He said, it was needful, I came to you first, but seeing you put away, we go to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles heard that, they rejoiced. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The oneness that we have as believers, the fellowship that we have, we're brethren, brethren. We come together tonight. We come together to hear one thing. You tell me of His glory. Tell me of His honor. We see together collectively that we all might collectively see. We know this. Salvation is by the grace of God. We know that. It's that the Jews converted. They see that salvation is not by the works of the law. They know that. Gentiles, they're not saved by being circumcised. Jews are not converted because they were natural sons of Abraham. We're saved by the grace of God. Through faith. That's how we know it. We're not saved by faith. As I said before, faith did not die for us. Faith is the means, is the avenue by which we know what God Almighty has done. For by grace are you saved. How do you know that? Through faith. That's how you understand. God gives faith. And all of that truth, that glorious truth, hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ to the intent, verse 10, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The angels that were created, they're taught by observing the grace and mercy that God shows to His people through the Lord Jesus Christ. They're taught. They desire to look into these things and see. Almighty God has been pleased to teach even angels. They behold and contemplate the wisdom of God as they see His marvelous power and His wisdom to redeem fallen man. There was man fallen. He fell in the garden. Angels watched that. They saw that. expelled out of the garden, separated. Cherubim placed at the entrance, flaming sword. How is God Almighty, who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, how is God going to be just and justify a sinner? How? How? And in the process of time, a child was born. A son was given. The angels, seeing what God Almighty did in being made flesh, God was made flesh, and He dwelt among His people, and they sang and announced to the shepherds, "Behold, this day born in the city of David, Christ Jesus the Lord." And they watched that. And they beheld Him as He went through the ministry. He 30 plus years. He went, lived on this earth. And they watched and beheld. And the time of His temptation in the wilderness. And He was tempted of the devil. 40 days, 40 nights. And He fasted. These angels watched, and they came, and when the time was appointed for them, they came and ministered to Him. Went through His ministry here on this earth when He revealed who He is to the world. Jews, they saw. And He's in the garden, and they're watching. They're watching Him. He goes into this garden, and He takes some of His apostles with Him. And He separates Himself about a stone's throw away. He falls down. He cries out, "Father, if it be possible that this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." And the Scripture says He cried out again, called upon the Lord, and He began to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Scripture says the angels came and ministered to Him. And now He's in the garden, and Judas comes with a band of men, band of soldiers. Somewhere between 400 and 500 soldiers is what a band is. And had officials and chief priests and thing. And they come up to Him, and they watch Him, seeing Him having cried out in the garden to His Father. And here comes Judas and kisses Him. They watch that. And the Lord asked him, "Who do you seek? Whom seek ye?" "Jesus of Nazareth." And He said, "I am." He, the word in our Scriptures is in italics. "I am." They fell backward. They watch that. They come again. He said, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And He said, "I am." About that time, one of them began to come up to Him, take Him, and Peter takes out a sword and cuts off Malchus's ear. And the Lord rebukes him. He takes and heals his ear. They bind him. They bind him. These angels knew who he was. They knew who he was. They bound him. This is the one that spoke everything into existence. And they watched him. They watched him as he submitted himself. And he went before Pilate and Caiaphas and the different officials. And he watched him go to the cross. Hang. Laid down his life. "No man takes my life from me," he said. "I lay it down. I lay it down in myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again." And they watched him hanging on that cross and died. They watched them take him down from that cross. There was the Lord of glory. That was God. That's God right there in human flesh. And they buried him. They put him in a tomb. And 3 days later, one of those angels was instructed, you go roll the stone back. And an angel rolled it back. And he came out victorious. They watched him in those last days before his ascension. And he ascended back into heaven to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, by God's mercy to the church, the manifold wisdom of God. God taught them. According to the eternal purpose, verse 11, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everything that God Almighty has ever purposed to do has been in Christ Jesus our Lord. All of His dealings with His people, all men, is according to the Son. You kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. I thought about that I just mentioned a minute ago when Judas came to the Lord and the Lord asked him, He said, betrayest thou the Son of God with a kiss? A kiss? Now how are you going to do it? You're going to kiss me? We're commanded, you kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Oh, that it was manifested to these principalities and powers, these angels, that everything that God was pleased to reveal concerning His wisdom in this world was according to His purpose to show mercy, grace and compassion to His people. His suffering, His dying, His ascension. Here was the forerunner entering into heaven. And when He entered into heaven, ascended that day, or when He came out of that ground, there was the promise right there. Now we were in Him. Now there's a promise. He came out of the ground and we're going to come out of the ground too. He ascended into heaven, we're going to ascend into heaven too. Really, we ascended with Him because we were there. And I don't understand all this. But I know it's so. Right now, in our Lord, as His body, and again, I see through a glass darkly, we all do. But we're seated with Him right now. But there's coming a time, Carl, when we're going to know it. We're going to see it. Here was our blessed Savior, a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. What does that mean? No beginning of days, no ending of days, no father, no mother, no lineage. How are you going to write down the lineage of Him who is eternal? God. That these glorious mysteries, when God's pleased to call His elect out of darkness. Why was it that God called Samuel when he was just little? In the last few moments, He calls a thief out of darkness from the cross. Why? Please God. It pleased God. Everything, look at Acts 4:26. Everything that's going on. I was thinking about that, I mentioned that fella, Malchus. Malchus. He was a servant of the high priest, Malchus, the one Peter cut his ear off. Couldn't find out one thing about him Malchus. Gave his name in John. The others didn't mention his name, but John mentioned his name. John did. As far as I know, Almighty God created that man, grew up, became a servant of the high priest, put him where he did, brought him into the garden, and put him right there so that Peter could cut his ear off. And the Lord put it back. That was a final miracle before he went to the cross. Gave the man's name, cut Malchus's ear off, and the Lord healed him. And the amazing thing was, he healed him, and the blindness of their eyes, the deadness of their heart, they still took him away. And he just healed a man right there in front of him. All these things working for one purpose. The glory of God, the salvation of His people. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 26, 28. The kings of the earth stood up. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, the people of Israel, all gathered together. Listen to this. For to do whatsoever thy hand, thy counsel determined before to be done. Why did God raise up Pontius Pilate? Herod. Why did He put them where He did in that position of authority? Put them right where they were. Made them, you know, they thought they were big shots. Top dogs, you know. Head honcho. I'm big man. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, the people of Israel, gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Do you know why everybody is where everybody is and who everybody is? It's because that's where God Almighty put them, for the glory of God and for the good of His people. That's right. Everybody that thinks they're somebody, whether they're in this country in positions of leadership or they're over there in that place, they think they're all somebody. Let me tell you something. They're all in the hands of God Almighty. And they're doing just exactly what God Almighty determined beforehand to be done. That's right. The Lord is in control. It's according, verse 11, to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In whom, verse 12, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Because we are His people, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, redeemed by Christ, regenerated by God's Spirit, robed in His righteousness, sons of God, because He has been pleased to set His affection on us, chosen to be His bride, we have boldness, assurance, confidence, freeness of speech. The amazing thing, I have just freedom. I go over to Carl and I Blues and I feel comfortable enough. I'm not going to just walk in and just, well, if I do, I don't go far. You know, I might go that far. But I'm going to announce it's me. They're expecting me, and I've called them, told them I'm coming. And I, That's a friend. That's a friend. They trust me. I'm not going. But to walk with confidence before God and to have boldness and access with confidence by His faith, by His obedience that robes us, that we can with boldness call upon God Almighty in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That truth that has been hidden in God, revealed. God would call Jew and Gentile and give His people access into His presence. In the Old Testament, the holy place, I told you about that tabernacle, I told you about how big it was. About from the wall about to over right here, and about from this wall to just behind Nancy, right there, about that big. That was the whole thing. 2/3 of it was the holy place. The table of showbread, you know, the candlestick, there was the veil. Behind the veil, there was the Ark of the Covenant. That Ark that had that mercy seat, that golden mercy seat, and the cherubims, the wings touched. One day a year, the high priest, and not without blood, that's on the Day of Atonement, they had the two goats. One of them was the goat that was slain, the other was the scapegoat. Sins were confessed on top of that scapegoat. And they would slay one of them, showing the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the other one was taken away into the wilderness. Show that they've been taken away as far as the east is from the west. One day out of the year, the high priest, only the high priest, could enter into that holy of holies, sprinkle the mercy seat with the blood, the atonement, the Day of Atonement. He being our atonement. Christ is the one who has put away, covered our sins by His own precious blood. That's His blood that was sprinkled. It was His blood. And now the Scripture sets forth, in whom, verse 12, we have boldness and access with confidence into the heavenly Holy of Holies. That we can, by the faith of Him, by His obedience, imputed to us, God, Mark, accepts us in Him, robed in His obedience, as He approaches the Father in His own merit, we in Him have access. We don't take lightly prayer. I mean, to say that we call upon the Father, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When believers pray, that privilege, that honor, that access with confidence was bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, to just pray, to enter into God's presence, to pray is by the faith of Christ. It took His obedience imputed to us. Last verse for tonight. Verse 13. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Paul is saying, because of the Lord's mercy to us, enabling His people to have boldness and access into His presence with confidence by the faith of Christ imputed to us, he was saying this: don't be discouraged. We're in this world, but we're not of it. Not, you know. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations. Wherefore? That word wherefore there in verse 13 is talking about just in from what he just said. We have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Don't be discouraged, Paul said, because of the trials that I have suffered because of preaching to you Gentiles, to you Gentiles at Ephesus. Don't be discouraged. See, Philippians 1:29, Paul said, for unto you it's given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. When the Lord called Paul out of darkness, Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus, remember he went in to Damascus and one Ananias was sent over to tell him, and he, Ananias, you know, the story, began to tell the Lord. He said, well, we've heard of him. And the Lord told him, he said, chosen vessel unto me, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. There's a price that is paid. You'll be hated of all men. I write these articles that we have in the paper, and I try, I do ask and pray and ask the Lord for direction to write. And when I stand before you, this is I know that there's, you've heard these things before, and talking about the electing grace of God, and that salvation is only granted through the blessing of God's Spirit through the preaching of the gospel, and that salvation is not in baptism, it's not in man's free will. I have some you know, freedom to be able to preach to you. You've heard that before, but I'll tell you this: it's just. Whenever I'm writing some of these articles I write, and I'll write that, and I'm thinking, ooh, I tell you what, if they read that, then I'll think this. You know, the only thing that'll set a man free is the truth. That's the only thing. Almighty God is going to bless His Word. And so really, let's just write the article and let the chips fall where they will, and pray that God bless them. That's Paul said, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. He said in closing is that the suffering for the sake of the gospel was going to be their ground of praise. That's what it means, your glory. The afflictions and sufferings, those comforts, those blessings, all of these providential dealings that the Lord has with His people is for the good, for the glory of God and the good of the saints. When a believer beholds and sees the attitude of a saint that is called upon by the Lord to suffer for the name of the Lord. And when a believer sees the Lord's grace and mercy to keep that saint that's called to go through these tribulations, he said, don't faint at my tribulation. It's for your glory. It's for your ground of praise. Meaning, God's going to teach you something through it. I've seen some believers that have been called upon to suffer and suffer unto death, and I think what the Lord please teach me in seeing that. And I said, you know, the thing that I realize is that I can read when the Lord says, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." I can read that, but I'm going to tell you something. When you watch it, when you see the grace of God. That is their ground of praise. He said, that's your glory. That's what God's teaching you. He said, don't faint at my tribulations. He said, they're for your comfort. They're for your consolation. I pray that the Lord bless these words to our hearts tonight. That Christ be honored and God's people comforted for His name's sake.